Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
The Craig Ferguson Fancy Rascal stand-up tour continues throughout 2024. For a full list of dates and tickets, go to thecraigfergusonshow.com/tour. See you out there. thecraigfergusonshow.com/tour. My name is Craig Ferguson. The name of this podcast is Joy. I talk to interesting people about what brings them happiness. Here's Shadow Stevens. He was the announcer on my old late-night show. But he's been the announcer on so many different shows, and he's done so many things, and to be honest, so many drugs. Listen to this and enjoy. All right, so America knows you as Shadow Stevens. I know you as Shadow Stevens. I also, by the way, let me just apologize if you're watching this as opposed to listening to it. It feels like we're in a dental office waiting room a little bit.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. We have a plant here. And I don't know if you remember magazines. Remember magazines? It was like a blog, but papery.
Sure, yeah,
right, that. Well, they used to have magazines and old magazines in a dental office.
Life.
Life magazine. What was the other? People magazine.
People.
People.
Us. Life,
Us Weekly. Yeah. The stars, they're just like us.
Yeah, they sure
anyway,
are.
Look, America knows you as Shadow Stevens. I know you as Shadow Stevens. That's not how you started out.
No.
Like, what? You were Terry...
Ingstad.
Terry Ingstad.
A proud Norwegian name.
Right. So your people are from Norway.
No. Yes.
But you grew up in...
Jamestown, North Dakota. The cattle and the wheat and the folks that can't be beat.
And also...
Yadagota, North Dakota.
Yadagota.
That was a song when I was growing up. They had a contest for people to come up with the North Dakota song. And the one that won was, Yadagota, North Dakota, see the cattle and the wheat, the folks that can't be beat.
Is that...
Even as a child, I thought, that's
You know
really
what's interesting? I heard that song and I felt a little bit like I should become a serial killer just hearing it. Because it's a dark place.
Well, it can be. Yeah. Certainly in the winter.
Well, I always think it's a bit like Scotland, and it's like people forget it just gets dark in the wintertime all the time, and it makes you crazy, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's no sun.
No sun and gray skies that go on forever.
People back there are tough.
Yeah. You know.
They're tough. They're way tougher than me. I have two brothers that still live there. And you're tougher than me. Nope.
They, can't do it. You have people farmers?
No. I grew up in really Norman Rockwell. I had an amazing childhood. In fact, so amazing that I was embarrassed to talk about it for a long time because people talk about how tragic their childhood was and how they were beaten. And my parents didn't drink or smoke or use drugs or curse or fight in front of the kids. My parents owned toy stores,
there's your problem,
clothing
right
stores.
There.
Yeah, I mean,
that's setting the bar too high.
Yeah, my dad was a basketball star called the Hooker. he could make hook shots from center court, and he was a North Dakota legend. And then he went into business, and he started Tiny Town, which was a little tiny store with children's clothes. Then he moved into clothing, and then he moved into toys. Then he moved into go-kart tracks, and then he we had fireworks stands on the 4th of July. And of the five kids, each child would run a different fireworks stand. We had the fireworks displays on our street with the leftover fireworks from the fireworks stands we would bring down to our house.
So I always thought that your childhood was very rural, but it doesn't sound that rural then. It sounds like
you're a town of 15,000 people.
Right,
pretty,
okay.
Kind of rural. All my friends were pretty much farmers and, you know, or we worked on farms.
Oh, you worked on farms?
I did. Right. I did. And I came to the meaning of life. I should tell you about the when I worked for the aliens.
Okay, yeah, you should definitely tell me about that.
My friends and I, one summer, worked for these aliens in Spiritwood, North Dakota. Now, automatically, you think, sounds like the Twilight Zone.
Is that a town, Spiritwood?
Spiritwood, yeah, well, and an area. There's Spiritwood Lake, and then there is Spiritwood, the town, which was, you know, a granary and a couple of shops or something.
Okay.
And he had a big farm, and they were a little family of little, they looked like what people call grays. They had skulls that mushroomed. And all of them,
they really were aliens.
At the time, we just thought they were unusual.
Right.
We didn't really think about that. And we went out and we would work on hauling bales of hay all day long. And you'd grab them with two hooks and lift them up into the truck from 5 a.m. until 8 p.m. And we would go back to the house and have Thanksgiving every day. And it was turkey and it was roast beef and it was pies and everything. And
every day.
And all my friends were, it was really hard work, you know, out in the sun. And we would sit and we would joke, and the alien father would sit, and he was a very quiet man. And he would go, and we would say, like, the punchline is, so he said, Zenith. And everybody would go, ha, 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 and he would go, ha, ha, ha. And then every few minutes, for the next 5 or 10 minutes, he would go, Zenith. So I've been doing that my whole life. So now.
Where are they from, these aliens?
Okay, I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
For years, I remembered them as having a very Ray Bradbury Twilight Zone name. And I couldn't remember, and no one that I talked to could remember, people I talked to in the town. And 5 years ago, finally, I realized I have to talk to my friend, Ray Buckley, who worked on the farm with me. And I called him in Missouri. And I said, Ray, you remember the aliens we worked for, the guys with the mushroom heads? And he goes, yeah. And he said, I've been trying to think of their name. And I put it in my book, in my contact list, so that I would never forget. Because what he said was, oh, you mean Virgie Shock.
Virgie Shock?
Virgie Shock.
That the name of the Shocks? You worked the for Shocks. The Shock and they were
and
alien?
Virgie, like Virgie. On the verge of Shock.
And Virgie would
And it like, sounds like a name an alien would make up.
Yeah, Virgie.
Yeah.
Virgie should probably show up for Virgil.
And no one knows whatever happened to them. Nobody knows about them in town. They're not around anymore. Nobody remembers them. I think they may have erased their...
Oh, you think it was like a Men in Black thing?
Maybe.
Okay.
I can't be sure.
So, why did they have Thanksgiving dinner every day? I'm kind of like, I'm sorry to be Larry King about this, but
it's very hard work. And this is, these are all high school students who need to eat a lot, apparently.
Well,
but it literally was. It was turkey and it was roast beef and it was pies and corn and potatoes and everything. And we would eat and eat and eat.
Well, but I get that. But do you think that they came to our planet because they really liked Thanksgiving dinner?
Think we may be being groomed. I'm not sure.
Okay, right. So you work in there, and they obviously want hay or something like that. And but you're working for the aliens. How do you get from this idyllic Norman Rockwell style childhood, and you start? You know, you start looking towards California and Hollywood, and what time of life is it? What's the era? What's the decade? What's going on with you?
At the beginning, well, the very first thing that happened when I was 2 years old, my mother taught me how to play records on a record player, and I was obsessed. Apparently, from the very beginning, put a record on, play it. Oh man, it's the greatest! And I started over again, And then she taught me to
draw. You know, you can get a residency in Las Vegas now just doing that.
I know.
Unbelievable.
I know. Yeah, that didn't work for me when I was that age. So I was obsessed with all this. And I discovered my dad's tape recorder when I was 8 years old. And I started recording stories on the tape recorder. And everybody was fascinated by it. And they were probably terrible, but I was hooked. And I would edit them together by pausing the tape recorder and add another piece and be able to tell a story. And then my uncle, who owned radio stations, discovered that I loved this, and he sent me a kit that would allow me to broadcast into another room. And this was magic to me.
What age are you when this is happening? You're making your own radio show.
I was 10 years old, and I soldered this thing together, and
You had a soldering iron at 10 years old?
Yeah, got a soldering iron, and then I put it all together, and I went to the local TV shop, and I said, how do I soup this up? And they go, well, you can answer that. And you have to put up a big antenna. So I crawled to the top of our three-story home with a wire in my teeth and a hammer in my pocket, and crawled
Steve, right
up
now,
to the
I'm,
edge.
I'm beginning to think that it's not a Norman Rockwell childhood, because you get a 10-year-old kid climbing up an antenna above the house.
Yeah, hanging upside down,
nobody's
hammering in a loop.
Yeah, nobody's
so that I can put the antenna
kid.
To the top of a tree in the backyard.
Right.
So I could broadcast a mile in every direction. And as a result, and I did this every day. I played, I had my radio station. And they interviewed me on The Man on the Street, and a local radio station, and they said, well, what are you interested in? Well, art and radio, really? Yeah, and I tell them about my pirate radio station, and they got really interested. He said, you should come down here. Maybe we'll put you on the air. So then at 11, they put me on the air and put it in the paper as the world's youngest disc jockey. And to have my picture with my stack of 45s and a big smile and a microphone just like this. An inch away.
And that was like the beginning of a
That was
profession.
The beginning. And I did that for a couple of years, and then worked part-time, and then went to the University of North Dakota to study art.
Art, okay.
And I was an art major for 3 years.
Yeah, because I know that you still paint, and you still...
Yeah, I do more multimedia, but I'm kind of captured by putting the ideas together that... don't necessarily go together.
Well, see, now the thing is that I know about you that maybe some people don't know about you is how diverse and wildly creative your output is. Because you go through being the world's youngest disc jockey, then you end up in Hollywood to do what? To do radio here?
Well, no, I'll make it real quick. I went to the University of Arizona for 2 years. And then I majored in drama and journalism, so I'd learned to perform and to write. And then
so
I got a job
and
in Boston.
And then you could report on your acting.
Yeah, both. I'm covering my bases.
Write your own reviews.
And then I was hired in Boston and got real, real successful in Boston. And 33% of all people listening to radio were listening. And
you're playing rock and roll records,
rock
right?
and
you're
roll, yeah. Right. It was top 40 station.
Right.
And I started doing television there as well.
Okay.
And then a year later, I was brought out to Los Angeles, and I've been here ever since. I came to the biggest radio station in the country, KHJ.
So this is what, like 70s?
This is like 69.
Okay.
And then the guy who had put me on television in Boston was now the producer of the Steve Allen Show. And so he hired me to be Steve Allen's sidekick, on camera, announcer.
Okay.
Talk things over. I was way out of my element. I sweated like Albert Brooks in what was that movie?
Broadcast News.
Broadcast News.
Yeah.
It was me. See, the makeup artist would come over and say, you really perspire. You have no idea. I'm soaked underneath.
so what happens but you've become very successful at this point. Now, I also know about you that you have, not only do you have a great deal of positive energy, you have a great deal of negative energy, right? So you have a self-destructive mechanism in there as well. Is that beginning to kick in at this point as well?
It was when I went to the University of Arizona, I discovered a wonderful drug called desbutol.
And I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, it was a brilliantly subtle combination of methamphetamine and barbiturate. So it would give you the energy and take off the edge, and you could get a bottle of 250 in a prescription. So I got a lot done.
I felt good about it while you were doing it.
And felt good about it.
Desputol.
You know, life was good for a while. It was highly abused and then discontinued.
I feel like I missed out a little bit. I never got Desbutol. It sounds like a prescription speedball. Is that would that
kind of like that,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And as you did more, of course, there is a learning curve.
Yeah.
And then things get dark. But then a guy says, you know, you got to try some weed. It's like, God, it's like it's a plant. It doesn't lead to heroin. So I do it, and I smoke this hookah, and I now I'm in the ceiling moving with the music, and I understand that this is like trying to explain the color blue to a blind man. It's experiential. And I bought an ounce that night, and within a month, I bought a pound. And then I moved to Boston.
What kind of weed are we talking about? Like just like...
I don't know what it was.
It's like
I was
grass,
new then.
Right? It's not like hashish or anything.
No, it was just grass and a big 4-foot-tall hookah with multiple tubes.
See,
and black light posters and...
It's interesting you talk about it, because people that do weed, and so everybody does weed now. Everybody, like, yeah. It's like America reeks of marijuana. Like
truly.
You go out into the cities, everywhere smells like marijuana. And people who take marijuana always say it's organic, like so it's not dangerous. I mean, I've seen so many, I don't know if you've seen this, but I've seen a lot of people ruin their lives with marijuana, but it's so subtle that they don't know. That like is, I heard someone say it's like being nibbled to death by rabbits. It's like, because if you're an alcoholic or you take coke or heroin, it's pretty obvious you're destroying yourself.
Right.
But with marijuana, you just destroy yourself with smug justification, it seems like, over and over, telling people it's
smug justification.
Yeah,
is, there is a certain aloof condescension about the higher state of awareness that you're suddenly in.
I also get angry at people that do a lot of weed. I'm like, it's an adolescent drug. Do a grown-up drug like coke. Coke or heroin. This adolescent crap. I can hear the music better. Shut up. Shut up. Get fucked up properly, for God's sake.
Yeah.
So you get into weed and you're like hearing blue
and
stuff.
It was, you know, colorful at the beginning. And then by the time I got to Boston, the guy says, you want to try some acid? Well, what's acid? Well, it's like grass, more intense, lasts longer. And so I did that. And then the first experience, I always tell it the same way. I'm double parked on Beacon Hill and I'm the driver. And my friends get out to get donuts. And it comes on, and my hands are on the steering wheel. My friends are skipping down the street in slow motion. Get in the car. What is that? Now, you would think that anybody that had any sense would never do that again.
Yeah, I know.
But no, by the time I got to LA a year later, we did it every weekend. Now I'm smoking dope every day. Then I get a prescription.
But you're being very successful at the same time, right?
Very motivated.
Right.
I show up and I get things done. And,
so you
and
work,
mostly
you
I want
work
to be up.
High. You're working high all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And,
so you're,
and
you're,
more so.
You're playing. Are you doing America's Top 40 yet, or anything like that?
No. That was a long time. There's a long way to get to that.
Right. but you're doing a lot of drugs. You're doing acid. You're doing the Desbutol thing's gone, right? Desbutol.
Well, that was gone, but now it was replaced by a prescription doctor, a guy that worked for me. Now I went from KHJ, and then I quit because they didn't know, because I was doing television, and they didn't promote me. So I said,
I'm familiar with that situation.
Yeah, it's like, we don't know whether you want to be in radio or television.
Right.
They promote each other. You don't get that. And they wouldn't even put it in the contract that the next full-time or the bigger position that became available, I would get. So I quit. And then I was hired by their competition. And within a couple of months, they made me program director.
Okay.
And now I'm going to Art Center School part-time, and I'm happy. And all of a sudden, he gives me this because I said we should be playing better music, and he liked the research I did.
So now you're
the
boss.
So he fired the program director and made me program director.
So you're the boss of the radio station,
yeah.
And you're getting twisted on all sorts of what you can.
It's starting to amp up,
right?
Now, one of the guys that worked for me.
This is in LA or Boston?
This is in LA,
right?
And a one-armed man who worked for me said, you know, you've got a lot of responsibilities. You should see my doctor, Dr. Lex. Sounds like a Marvel villain, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's out by the airport, Dr. Lex.
Actually, he was at Wilshire and La Cienega.
Okay.
And he was the prescription doctor to the stars. And he weighed 350 pounds and wrote his prescriptions on his stomach. And he would go, well, you had Dexedrine last month. How about Black Beauties? Okay, you know, Dr. Lax, things are going really well. I'm getting a lot done. Sometimes I have to stay in the studio through the night, and I've got a lot of people I'm responsible for, and I'm having a little trouble sleeping. And he goes, well, you had Quaaludes last month. How about Tylenol? Yeah, that would be good. And he would sell me poppers from behind the desk for cash.
Oh, my
God. Things are amping
up. So poppers is amyl nitrate, right?
Amyl nitrate, yeah.
Kids don't know about that anymore. I don't think it's out there anymore, amyl nitrate.
I hope not.
It's very bad stuff. Yeah.
But who knew? I was doing what seemed like a reasonable thing to do at the time.
I'm kind of, these types of drugs, I mean, look, I'm no stranger to drugs and alcohol, but, well, I am now, but then, you know, but what I never got into those kind of like the Quaaludy type things. I've heard people talk about Quaaludes, like,
they were like buffers. They made you relax and feel really good.
I thought they just like knocked you.
If you had the cocaine or if you had the speed, you know, you have the energy with the chill.
It's not getting in the way of your life at this point.
Well, and then there's the acid every weekend, or psilocybin, or peyote, or, you know, little mushrooms that came from the Amazon that looked like aliens, and you'd eat them and your nervous system would turn into rainbows.
Wow.
Good times.
Yeah. So at this point, I'm guessing a stable family life and relationship isn't something that's happening for you.
It's starting to come unglued.
Right.
I was married to my childhood sweetheart, and we had a son. And I'm busy, you know, but this radio station is very, very successful, and it beat the station I came out to work for. And then I went to K-Rock. I started K-Rock and was hired. And that's a whole story. We could go on for an hour about K-Rock. It's a stunning story.
It's an institution in this town.
It is.
Yeah.
And at the time, it was the brainchild of a guy that put together 13 partners. And ran through money like crazy.
And this is all drug-fueled craziness then, all that stuff is going on, right?
Well, pretty much everybody did. And he offered me a job from KRLA, which was at the Huntington Sheridan Hotel in state-of-the-art studios with engineers, to this funky little place in Burbank that he had put together. But he said, you know, I'm getting this FM station, and I want you to do something original like you did for KRLA on FM. And what kind of car are you like? Porsche?
Yeah.
Got it. What color?
Wow.
So he gives me this Porsche, and I'm making money and going over there and waiting for the FM.
Are you doing coke at this point then? Is coke coming in?
Not very often.
Right.
It was mostly, you know, speed and weed.
The Craig Ferguson Fancy Rascal stand-up tour continues throughout the United States in 2024. For a full list of dates and tickets, go to thecraigfergusonshow.com/tour. See you out there.
You know how you can make your summer vacation better? Is with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding and loungewear. It's like being at home, but also going away. It's great. And now you can get 35% off. You can get the unmatched softness. It's really as buttery smoothness of Cozy Earth's bedding. It's better than the finest hotels, and you get a really good night's sleep on your travels. And that's important. It's travel-friendly. It's hassle-free. Cozy Earth's bedding comes in adorable totes, making it the perfect companion for your adventures near and far. You can stay cool and comfy during long flights, and you know what that's like, with the Cozy Earth temperature-regulating bamboo joggers and pullover crew. Makes you look cool when you're traveling. I like it. Well, as cool as I can look when I'm traveling. So discover your next destination for ultimate comfort at Cozy Earth. Visit CozyEarth.com and use our code JOY at checkout, and you'll get 35% off. And let them know we sent you after the checkout. Promo code JOY. 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 This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Look, everybody has stuff that stresses them out and annoys them, and I'm no different from anybody else. For example, I get very irritated that people that wear shoes that look like feet. That's not a big deal, but it's a big deal to me. Obviously, there are much more important things to get worried about. Get them off your chest. When you keep them bottled up, it starts to affect you negatively. Now, therapy is a safe place to do that. That's what I did. And you figure out what's going on with you, work it through, and then let it go. Let it go, you see, that's what I think. I've done a lot of therapy, and I have to say I'm a very satisfied customer. If you think I'm kind of tense now, you should have seen me before I started. I really do recommend it. If you can do it, you should do it. If you're thinking of starting therapy, I'd suggest giving BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, it's designed to be convenient, it's flexible, and it's suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with, you know, a licensed therapist, a proper one, and then you can switch your therapist at any time for no additional charge. I just think it's a good idea. Give it a shot. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/joypod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/joypod.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
So you're doing speed and weight, but I want to try and figure out how you get from that to stuff like the Trax movie and the big kind of mainstream stuff.
Yeah, let's fast forward.
Right. Okay. So there's, you know, you're America's sweetheart in Hollywood Squares and you're doing America's Top 40 and all that. How did you get from like drug fueled, crazy alien mushrooms to being more mainstream? What's the bridge?
Well, you know, I went through radio, had big success, quit in rages, and started my own production company. I ended up doing, you know, commercials. I did the Blues Brothers movies and Fast Time at Ridgemont High and 48 Hours.
Were you doing commercials for these movies?
Doing commercials. I did the whole advertising campaign.
Right.
And then I did this Federated, where I sold them this idea of a fast-talking Dan Aykroyd bassomatic pitchman who talks a mile a minute, and then at the end, my original idea was, we just say we smash prices, and I smash a TV with a circus hammer. And he goes, well, that's fun. Well, let's do that. And I said, well, if I do it and it's successful, will you, you know, give me creative control? Because I never want to do the same thing twice or people want to kill me.
Right.
And he rolled his eyes and went, fine. And then business went up 500% the first weekend, and I was off and running, and I ended up doing 1,100 commercials for them. We would do 4 to 8 commercials a week for the next 7 years.
And these commercials are for movies, right?
These are for the Federated Group. They were right. Like a Best Buy.
Oh, okay. Right.
And they're all like done with me and five guys. And during this time, at the beginning of it, my drug use got worse and worse, a lot more cocaine. And
so this is now the 80s where everyone's
in the 80s.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
And then I basically, you know, I was living in Malibu Canyon and going home and going to the bathroom for a couple of hours and coming out and hearing whisper outside the window. And I would,
is there anybody outside the window?
I don't know. So I put sheets over the windows and the doors, and then I put quilts over the sheets, and then I put nails at 1-inch intervals around the quilts. And then I took my 12-gauge short barrel and I walked and I stalked outside to wait, confront my destiny.
What are you armed at this point?
12 gauge,
oh, okay.
Short barrel, yeah. Double-aught buck. You don't have to aim, you just point and pull.
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar.
So I squatted down beneath the bedroom window and I heard a rustle in the bush and I jumped up screaming, now you die, motherfucker. And I chased him through the bush.
But they
got away.
Yeah.
So I went back to the bathroom to celebrate and locked the door.
You got to celebrate by having more cocaine because
You lock the door and you put a towel under the door and then run the bath so they can't hear you. And it, shh. now I can have another hit. And then I went into convulsions and my head would crack on the floor, crack, 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 crack.
So you're in full-blown psychosis at this point, right?
I am way into psychosis.
And yet you're still working and making money.
It's starting to fall apart.
Oh,
and I have video proof of it. Some of those commercials got tragic. They were funny in a really dark and getting darker way. And I knew it was falling through my fingers and I couldn't, and I gained 50 pounds because I didn't stop eating. I didn't stop eating. I didn't stop drinking. Now I'm drinking a quart of Canadian Club a day and Courvoisier and tequila and anything anybody put in front of me every day.
So I have to ask you a personal question at this point. Why aren't you dead?
I don't know. You know, I think about that all the time because it got really scary. Most of the time I was terrified. I thought people were trying to kill me. I was looking, you know, behind me. I was like, you know, trying to lose people in the car, or somebody threw a cigarette out in the car in front of me. I thought it might be a bomb. I didn't know what was real. And I was literally did not know what was real. I didn't know if there really were people that I could hear. It's like I was outside the window and I'm peeking out there and it was terrifying. So my doctor said, if you're lucky, you're going to die. You're probably going to have a stroke or heart attack. You're really out of control. And I said, I know. And he said, you gotta stop. And I go, I know. But I was so embarrassed that I grew up in this beautiful childhood.
Right.
Parents didn't drink or smoke or do anything. Didn't take aspirin.
So your family are still back at home in North Dakota.
Yeah, and they have a feeling that things are odd, but they don't really know. And finally, I had an overdose in my studio and my friends found me at 4 a.m. and they got afraid and they talked to my family and they ganged up on me and talked me into going into rehab.
So you got, it was an intervention then?
They did. Yeah. And my mother said, you know, you've got to get help. You know, you maybe Betty Ford or something. Mm. So I went to Betty Ford and they said, there's no room.
Betty Ford was still around and would come to your house with,
well,
with
not for me, but
tea and cookies and stuff.
They found me a room in Scripps in La Jolla. And I went there and I thought I'd give it a day. And then my roommate that they gave me made me laugh. And that's what it took. It took laughing my way forward. And so I'll give it a day. Well, I'll give it another day. And we would write poetry and we would draw and cover the walls and we sit and smoke cigarettes by the window and laugh till 3 a.m. and then get up at 7 and start again. And
you still in touch with this person?
I am. And unfortunately, he is diminished in his, he went out a bunch of times.
So he didn't stay clean and sober then?
He didn't entirely. He has been for years, but then he started having a bunch of seizures. And so he lives a really quiet, slow life now and is not the guy that was going 100 miles an hour and making me laugh all the time. But he was really the reason that I got sober. And then the counselor came in about 2 weeks in and he said, you know, you've got a lot of anger issues. Maybe you should get a sense of humor. If you don't have a sense of humor about who you are, where you've been, what you've done, and where you're going, you're in for a rough ride. Life gets tricky. And a bell went off in my head, and I woke up the next morning and started meditating. I'd learned to meditate back with the Beatles.
And you meditated with the Beatles?
Well, I learned because of them.
Oh, right. Okay.
And
you meditated near the Beatles.
Yeah. And I started meditating, and then I haven't stopped for 38 years.
You meditate every day?
Every day, yeah. I learned deeper kinds of meditation. I meditated last night from 3:30 until 5:15 in the morning.
What does that look like? Like, do you chant? Do you have...
No, it is a focused kind of meditation. And I have an altar that I had built 20 years ago by a Chinese artist named Po Shun. And it's made from wood from all over the world, from the Amazon and from Africa and the Himalayas. And it's really beautiful. And it's like a jigsaw puzzle with secret ways to open the doors and secret compartments and things. And nobody sees the inside but me. It has things that I find empowering. And I do a focused meditation. I ended up, it's a kind of a combination between Vedanta that I learned in the 70s, and then self-realization, Kriya Yoga. And it's a highly focused kind of meditation that takes you into a breathless state. So you get to a place where your body gets so quiet that your fingers are numb and your body feels like it's the skin of a soap bubble, you know, maybe a foot away.
Sounds like that thing you were getting in Arizona. It was Desbutol.
Yeah, it's everything I ever wanted in drugs, but with no downside.
Nice. So this is when then, so in your life, when you get clean and sober, this is when the mid-80s?
Yeah, now that's when everything changed.
Right.
And it literally did. When I came back to LA, I got into martial arts. I started doing yoga. I meditated every day. I went to meetings. I was being of service. I was happy being alone and not in a marriage where I was fighting all the time. I didn't want to ever have another relationship. And 9 months into my sobriety, a guy that worked for me met a beautiful model at the bank and brought her over to the studio to hear what we're doing. That's Beverly.
No, I have to say, I mean, you know, I'm very fond of you, Shadow, but the best part of you is Beverly.
There's no question.
Yeah, I get it.
My wife is just a work of
art. She's a spectacular human being.
She really is.
Spectacular human being. Now, for people that don't know Beverly, let's talk, because she, I think a lot of the joy of your life is your, I mean, when I observe you, the joy of your life is your wife and kids. You know, the it seems to be you give the most wholesome Christmas cards every year. You and the kids obsession. All wearing outfits and I mean it's spectacular. And now the grandkids as well.
Yeah.
And everyone is very beautiful.
They are.
So talk to me about, because Beverly is not just beautiful. She's a very unusual person, Beverly. I kind of halfway think maybe she should be a guest here. Because
she could easily be.
Yeah, because she has this joie de vivre, this joy of life. Yeah. So what happens when you meet her? What's it like?
You know, I walk in the room and I'm happy being alone, remember. Mm-hmm. And I say, hey, so, hi, yeah. And I'm trying to be cool because the most beautiful person I've ever seen in my life. And
spectacular.
She's African-American and never it occurred to me to date. I just didn't. I grew up in North Dakota. There weren't any black people in North Dakota. Okay. I have no frame of reference at all. And right. I'm looking at this out of the side of my eyes. Oh, why do you play her? Oh, yeah, you should play her the such and such. And she leaves. And I say, who was that? He says, that's this international model. I met her at the bank. Does she sing? Yeah. Get her back. So she came back. And at the time, I had sold a project that I wrote called Shadow Vision, which is crazy. It's sort of like a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy on speed. And we were doing this jingle in it. The first thing we ever did together was to sing, oh, you perspire. Yeah, you perspire. And she go, and I go,
Okay.
So we did that about 100
times. It's getting a little
weird. It was so funny. We've been together ever since.
So that, I mean, you just get together and
it's magic. It was just magic.
Now, is this when your career starts to go in a little more of a mainstream direction then?
Well, like right away, because Federated was so popular all over the West Coast. It was the most successful advertising campaign, regional advertising campaign in U.S. history. And because you couldn't watch television without seeing these commercials, and they changed every 10 days.
Right.
So there was something new, and they were all funny. And as a result of that, I got a 3-picture deal with Dino De Laurentiis, famous producer.
So he gives you a 3-picture deal as an actor?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm going off to do this movie Trax, which was really exciting. And
Trax is a real, I mean, it's a real find for people now.
Trax is very so insane.
The Trax is TRAXX.
Right.
Can you give us a brief rundown of the synopsis?
Okay, Trax was a mercenary who is tired of the mercenary business, and he just wants to be the next famous Amos. He wants to bake cookies. So he takes his savings and goes off to a cabin in Texas somewhere and starts baking sushi cookies and puppy swirls. And he just thinks these are really creative, and they're terrible. And he runs out of money, and he's brought into town. He goes into town as a town tamer, a town overrun by crime and the mafia. And he goes in to whip things together.
Oh, right. What's his name? Mike Trax?
No, just Trax.
His name is just Trax. Like, he doesn't have a...
There's a whole bunch of really things are really wrong with this movie.
They didn't even give him like a name like Bob Trax or something. No, it's like his name was just Trax. Yeah, okay, and Trax. He bakes cookies, but he's a mercenary and he's come to clean up the town.
Yeah.
So far, I think this is a great movie.
It's pretty funny, and I've met a lot of people who say it's one of their favorite movies of all time. Quentin Tarantino at your show,
right?
When
that's
I met
right.
him,
yeah.
I said I want to introduce myself. The only guy ever introduced myself at your show. And I said, I'm just really, I know you, Shadow Stevens, Trax. Went, yeah, that's a
he's
funny
seen every
weird
movie in
movie.
The
he
world.
Goes, no, it's a great movie. It's hilarious. And went, well, you just made my whole life.
Yeah. But it is a thing. People should know about that movie because I haven't seen all of Trax because I can't find all of Trax.
Yeah, I did it. I cut it down because it had the worst soundtrack in the history of movies. And I couldn't deal with it was really badly put together. And it was a really funny script. And
so it was meant to be funny.
Oh, really? Yeah. Absolutely funny. Right. And scathingly funny. And it would never get made today, ever.
Right.
So I cut out all the parts that didn't work and just made a more contemporary soundtrack and put it up on YouTube.
Were you the director of them?
No. In fact, I went out at the first day of shooting. I was all excited. And I went out in this beautiful set of this town and went, wow, this is great. And then I see that they have three electric chairs in the town square. And the villains were in three different, like those childhood pajamas with the footsies.
Yeah.
And red, white, and blue. And I'm horrified. And I go to the producer and I say, I've got a really good sense of humor. What is this?
Yeah.
So, and all people are going to love this. It's so funny. And I wrote in my journal that night, we're doomed. This is never going to work out. They're going out and drinking every night and rewriting the script and putting in stupid stuff that you can't make this funny.
So Trax is not a hit.
No, it's not. And no, in fact, what happened is that De Laurentiis, the company went bankrupt as it was being finalized. And Jay Leno had done a movie at the same time. And they were all like thrown together. And I think
I remember that. What was that?
Bought them.
What was Leno's movie? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about, though. He was like he was also a kind of detective-y sort of guy. Yeah. I think that was the thing then.
Yeah. Yeah, so it got bought by HBO, and they showed it a few times, and it was deeply disappointing. But at the same time, Hollywood Squares comes along. Now, the guy that put me on the Steve Allen show comes back with Hollywood Squares,
right.
And he's going to produce a new Hollywood Squares, and he says, I got John Davidson, I got Joan Rivers, and I want you to do the voice of the show, and I did, and it was the biggest hit of the year. I was like number one. And he said, we want you to do the show. And I went, no, I have a shot at acting. And right. I really want to try, you know, and if I just do another announcing thing. And he goes, well, and so I turned it down. And then he comes back again, and I turned it down again. And then he came back a third time. He said, how about this? I'll put you in the square, and we'll make it part of the show. And if you have to leave to go do, like, the movie, and you come back, you'll just be, you know, out for a while, and then come back and tell us what. And I went, okay. And then Hollywood Squares turned into the biggest show in the world. It was like the number one show in America, and none of us saw that coming.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? You got rain gear, but you can't overlook sunny day gear. A Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie has you covered on the sunniest days. Like, literally. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50, and it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. Columbia PFG has you covered with their Castback TC shoe. Its OmniMax cushioning and traction system helps if you're on your feet a lot, say, fighting a fish. Not to mention keeping you sure-footed on a wet rocking boat. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all their performance fishing gear.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
So the combination of tracks, the disappointment, but then all of a sudden there's Hollywood Squares. And then on the top of Hollywood Squares comes American Top 40. And because
so you're the voice of American rock and roll at this point, then the announcer of American rock and roll, right?
Yeah, well, and it was, and it grew into 110 countries. And for the next 7 years, they flew me around the world to promote the show. So I was in Oslo, Norway, and Bali, and Tokyo, and everywhere, and South Africa, and it was a really big deal, very exciting, and a lot of fun.
Did you have a lot of influence on music at that point? Then did you were you able to, you know, pick and choose?
You know, the thing about doing American Top 40 too is because my entire career has been tongue in cheek. Funny, satire, parody. Everything, every radio station, everything I'd ever written, all my commercials, everything had always been funny. Now I'm stepping into the shoes of the most earnest man in the history of mankind.
Right.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
It's Casey Kasem, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And the nicest guy in the world. And we were friends, had been friends for probably a decade. But here I am doing it and everybody's paranoid. And then they go, it's like, well, I can't do that. So the first show that we recorded, the four-hour show, took 18 hours to record. We had to rewrite every sentence that I did because I couldn't do that. It sounded awful,
right?
Talking like that. Not like I was trying to mimic his voice, but just trying to find my own
voice and sense of humor.
Okay. So where he would say, keep your feet on the ground, keep reaching. So I would say, and remember, if the world is your oyster and you can't find your pearl, you can always have lunch. Bye-bye out there. You know, so, but also, I used to say, your friend in the void, the shadow. And well, they said, void? What the hell?
Yeah, no, I like that. Your friend in the void, the shadow. Can you tell me why Shadow Stevens, by the way? Because if you're Terry Engstead, seems like a perfectly serviceable name to me.
Yeah, but it's not exactly a catchy radio name. No, that didn't work for me. And at the beginning, I named myself Jefferson K. I always thought that would be like, you know, kind of soulful.
I love that.
And the first big radio show I did in Fargo, they put me on and I did all R&B, which was all my favorite music, was always black music. So I was like the black DJ Jefferson K on KQWB in Fargo. And then I kept it when I went to Arizona and went to the University of Arizona and I was
working full-time. You're still Jefferson K at this point?
I was still Jefferson K. Right. Now, I get the job in Boston. I'm heading across the desert in my white Corvette and I stop in Alamogordo, New Mexico. And I get out and I go to a phone booth and it says atomic testing range, do not enter, right across the street. It's like pivotal. And I call, I say, I'm on my way. And they go, yeah, Look, we're not gonna. You're not gonna be able to use that name. There's a Jess Kane and a J.J. Jeffries, and believe it or not, there was a Jefferson K here some years ago. So we're gonna change your name. We're thinking of calling you Shadow Man, Shadow Lane, or something. And went, that's the worst name I ever heard in my life. I was humiliated. I drive across country at, you know, 100 miles an hour going Randy Road, Johnny Lane. I mean, I'm looking for names and billboards and signs and trying to think of, now, the time I get into Boston, I've got a list of names that I could live with. And I hear on the radio, and starting Monday, Shadow Stevens, 68 WRKO. No, I'm in hell. Oh, no. And I was humiliated. It was like, oh, God, this is a dumb name. And then they would say, that's not your real name, is it? So what I did is I came up with a backstory that I could live with. And the backstory was, well, you know, it's Native American. Really? Yeah. Do you know what tribe? I go, well, I'm from North Dakota, so I suspect it's Mandan, could be Sioux. I'm not sure. Oh, really? So do you know what it means? Yes, it means he who walks with the light. No kidding.
This is all a pack of lies, right?
Yeah, I made it up. Okay. But it's true. Yeah. And then it made me. It gave me my sense of humor. It gave me a whole way of looking at life. And I became it. So it was given to me by God.
So you identify as, you think of yourself as Shadow Stevens then. You're not Terry.
Oh, for since probably 1980.
Yeah.
For a while, I kept both names, and then I was Fred Rated, and then it was Terry and Fred, and I go to the bank, and they go, who are you? And I went, I just can't go on. I felt like who I'd decided to become, so I just changed it, you know, legally, about 1979, I think.
Okay. So now you're clean and sober.
Yep.
You're in Hollywood. You and Beverly are together. You've had your children. And the greatest moment of your life arrives. You get the call from me to be the announcer.
It's so true. It was pivotal. And actually, it came after a number of spectacular failures. I had, here I am doing the biggest radio show in the world, and they decide to cancel it to just go into distribution and made it so that I couldn't do another one. And I'm in a top 10 sitcom, Dave's World, on CBS.
Yeah, that's
and that went on for 4 years, and it was great fun. And that ended. And
that's a great life, a multi-camera sitcom.
It's the best.
Oh, wow. It's the best. It's like a couple of days a week, you roll in, work a little bit, get paid a ton of money,
leave.
Yeah,
make people laugh. Oh, it's great.
Greatest.
So they all ended. Mm. And then my agent, who is Howard Stern's agent, Don Buchwald.
You know what? I interviewed with him when I first came to Hollywood. Buchwald. Yeah. He said, I could be your agent. I was like, oh, great. I have the same agent as Howard Stern. And then I never heard from him again. It was a guy who worked in his office, maybe. And I thought, nah.
Well, I have it worse than that, because I went with them and they never did anything. And then they asked me, after everything fell apart, they asked me to find another agent. And then, of course, by that time, everything's fallen apart and I don't like what I'm doing. So I started a thing called Rhythm Radio, based on my travels around the world, finding all this music in other cultures that was really fabulous. So for the next number of years, I created Rhythm Radio, and we built it up into being on the air in 30 countries and on the internet in 7 languages. And we sold it a year title sponsorship to Nescafe. And then the .com crash happened. And they said, you know, the internet's a fluke.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be like a CB radio, the internet. Like people would kind of come and go. Yeah. But I think it might be here now for a little while.
I think it's going to probably do well.
So when you and I are working together, and then I quit and then leave you high and dry again. And that is this when you start what you're doing now, which is mental radio, which is...
I did a couple of things. Right. One of the things I did is I started a radio station for Sammy Hagar called Cabo Wabo Radio, and I designed studios for Cabo Cantina, and I had duplicate studios.
What happened on Cabo Wabo Radio? Was that
it? It was actually really fabulous.
Yeah?
I didn't get good support from Sammy. We went to... There was a service called Live 365 that broadcast radio shows, and they had, or stations, and they had 10,000, and we rose to number one in just a couple of months. You know, the title I came up with was Hot Rock Smuggled Across the Border from Mexico. And it was all up, all rock, all party, all the time. And it was, you know, rock, all kinds of new rock and old classic, but it was all fun and party music. And I had a guy to sell it. And I went to Sammy and I said, you know, I got a guy who'll sell it. And he said, I'm not going to pay anybody to sell. So I go back to the guy who had sold all over the world and sold to the Sultan of Dubai and to Steve Wynn in Las Vegas. And I said, well, he won't pay you. And he goes, fine, I'll do it for free for 30%. So I go back to Sam and he say, he'll do it for free for 30%. 30%? Fuck yeah. Fuck him. That's what he said. Okay. And I went, there's
Sammy
no...
Sammy Hagar swore?
Yes, he did. And
you can't,
I
mean, you can't believe in anything anymore.
I'm sorry. It was like Santa Claus turning on you.
Yeah.
And I realized it wasn't going anywhere. So, you know, I had to let that one go. And then I started... Early mental radio was more like guests and things.
Right. So tell me a little bit. We're going to play a little of mental radio because I know it's quite hard to understand. But can you give me a kind of idea of what mental radio is?
Okay. Mental radio was started at the beginning of the virus when we were all shut down. It was March of 2020.
Yeah.
And I realized everybody's freaking out. And I was a little edgy myself. And I've got this big studio and I thought, I've got to create something funny and uplifting. And I don't know what it'll be, but I'm going to start writing. And I started writing and I started recording. And then I started like looking for music. And I called the guy that was my director in Federated. And he became a really world-class music composer. And he said, I've got all this music I own. You can have anything you want. And he opened up the library. Now I have cinematic music. And I attracted a writing partner, Joshua Weinstein, who is a scriptwriter. And I said, here's how you write. Here's how you do it. I taught him how to do it. And we hit it off. And now it's become 24 episodes, 11 hours of stories and adventures and serials with cliffhanger endings and parodies. And it's quite funny. And if you listen with earphones, sounds come from behind you and characters move around in your head. It's deeply immersive. And I'll play you this. This is Malibu Beach Romance. Biff Brando, known as Dr. Coat Grapple on Loving Tomorrow, the number one soap on television, lives with Piper, a star so big she only has one name. But Biff has a fling. Yes, but Biff has a fling with a barista and a coffee bean and tea leaf in Tarzana, and she's named Coco Poefs. And things take a dark turn, very much like Fatal Attraction.
Bitchin' house, catchin' rays.
And there she was, Coco. He quickly flexed his six-pack and smiled back. How could he forget the barista from Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf in Tarzana and that fling in the restroom beneath the hot breath of the hand dryer?
I knew I'd find you. Love the Billabong board shorts. You look so hot. Take a walk.
He gazed at her cat-eye Maui Jim Puakenakeni shades, ample bosom and blonde hair wafting in the wind, and flinched. He looked back at the house, lucky that Piper, the love of his life, always slept late. He had to get Coco out of here. He jumped off the deck.
Dude, a sick, rad move. Oh, you look so good.
Yeah, thanks. So, what's up?
I knew you and me were inevitable, Biff, when you ordered that triple shot low-fat latte, hint of vanilla, one Splenda, and it added up to $6.66. I freaked. But when I did the life path and destiny on it, I realized that the root number was 6 plus 6 plus 6, or 18, and 1 plus 8 is 9.
Look, you're a beautiful woman, but I have a girlfriend.
I did the I Ching on us. It said 9 in the second place means perseverance brings good fortune. So I will persevere all over you, Biff.
Yeah, that's so it's kind of, it's a little bit old school radio as well, right?
Yeah, I tried to bring, you know, radio theater into the 21st century.
Right.
And make it, and I call it genetically altered humor. The whole conceit of it, the mythology behind it is that everything comes from a former Masonic temple somewhere in Hollywood. And I greet you there as the voice of reason in the middle of the madness. And there are theaters and labs and laboratories and the Outlook chamber at the top. And it's all kind of an allegory for the brain. And we go in and we see these stories, these adventures in the theater or in the opera house. And they all have messages. So there are episodes called doubt and fear and gloom and faith and space and time and on and on. And each story is something like that. I'll just play you one other one real quick. It's a shorter one. Dixon Ticonderoga is a writer looking for trouble. And he finds himself in Atrocity, kind of a town like the Bronx before it got nice. And he goes to Whelan's Kit and Caboodle and meets a pile of muscles with a t-shirt named Buddy Malone. Last time he saw Buddy was at the Alley Cat Bowl and Food and Puff, and the virus that he had in a jar, and Dixon dropped it, and the virus got out. But now he's meeting Buddy again.
So what do you got going?
You heard about the giant lizards and goats?
Yeah, taking over cities.
I got a blood hornet, size of a bat. Got him down in Argentina, doing a little ransom.
The size of a bat? You got it here?
Yeah, it's out in the truck.
I followed him outside Whelan's Kit and Caboodle, past the dumpsters, to Malone's indigo blue custom lowered 1950s Chevy 350 fuel-injected pickup with flames on the hood and just the right amount of pinstripes. And there it was on the real camel-colored leather seats, a bell jar so big it took two hands to pick it up.
Fins, teeth, and stingers.
Stingers? Like more than one?
Three rows of teeth. Look in there. And lots of stingers.
He dropped the jar. I looked down at the hornet shark with its bat wings flapping and saliva coming out of three sets of teeth, and it opened its jaws and flew at my face.
And suddenly I left my body and I could see what was happening in slow motion. I could see it for what it was without being afraid. And I thought, wait a minute, it's not like it's a rhinoceros. They're big and they run. I could see it coming at me, and it wasn't a shark, and it wasn't a bee. It was a freak, and it was the size of a bat. So I smashed it with my fist. And it was stunned, stopped in the air, confused. Then it fell to the ground with a thud. I stomped it with my foot. And I felt good.
Wow. So where do you get this? Where did we find
it? It's at mentalradio.net.
Okay.
And there is a free app that is for Apple or for Google Play.
Right.
And you can just download it. And put on earphones, or you don't have to listen with earphones, but it's deeply, it's a whole different experience when you listen with earphones.
Sonic experience.
Yeah.
It sounds a little bit like it's influenced by the noises that you heard outside
the window.
The window in Malibu when you were in psychosis. Shadow Stevens, you have been and will always remain a joy to me. Thanks for coming today.
Thank you. I appreciate being here.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth, no matter who you are, that mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn. burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.